Got it. All righty, here we go. All right. The Tom and Curly Show with Tom off on a Friday. I see a bit of a pattern developing here. Sherry steps in. Thank you, Sherry. I don't know what you normally do on a Friday, but I'm glad you've been able to put all of that on hold. You can just assume it's exciting.
Very exciting. But not as exciting as this.
Two dogs and a husband. Yeah. That's right. Two dogs and a husband. They got hit by a car a couple of months ago. How's he doing?
He's doing great. He's actually on a little road trip. His friend has an RV, and they were driving it across country, so he went along for the ride, and he's having a fine time.
Wow. Wow. Sounds like torture. Diving in! Honestly, if you had to write all those words down and place them out on a sentence and then have to read them out loud again, has a friend who's going on a cross-country road trip in an RV, and he's going along just for what?
Well, I don't know if he's helping driving or if he's just going along for the ride. But this RV, this thing is unbelievable. It's not this little, you know, camper.
Well, you must be a hell of a person to have to live with. I'll just put it that way. That anybody, honey, I'm leaving. I'll be gone. I'm going to get into an RV and drive across the country, but don't take it personally. By the way, Jacob, people at home shouldn't hear this. My computer went down again, Jacob. I don't want anybody to know that, but I can't play any sound. So I just thought I'd let you know, just two of us on the down low, okay?
Oh, thank you. Yeah. No one's listening. That's okay.
Okay. The fact that the Time magazine comes out in defense of Joe Biden, President Biden, with ageist attacks against President Biden reinforce outdated stereotypes and actually hurt younger people. The fact that they have come to his defense, and I looked at Trump. I typed into the Googleating machine Trump age 2017 because I didn't want to do Trump age, and because then they compare him to Biden. But you look at the number of stories they're questioning: is Trump too old, and why is his voice doing this, and he's slipping and missing words and mispronouncing this word and that word, and there's all sorts of people weighing in the fact that maybe he's beginning to lose it. We could start to look closer at the 25th Amendment, which would say that the president is unable to fulfill his duties of office because he's either physically or mentally incapacitated. And talk was early about President Trump and his age. And this is Time coming out saying, hold on, everybody. Let's not just start to, you know, discount senior people. They're just as valuable, and you can't judge somebody by their age. Did you what sound did you gather from this, Jacob, that I'm supposed to play that I can't because my computer sucks?
We do have an example that they mentioned in the Time magazine piece from SNL of Michael Che making a joke about Biden's age. So here's that one.
Biden gave his first press conference, which lasted over an hour. Wow, shout out to Fixit-It. At the conference, President Biden was asked if he plans to run for re-election in 2024, which is probably the nicest way to ask him if he plans on being alive in 3 years.
All right. Two good age jokes.
Yeah, that's
the
good.
America has never really, I don't know, in the last 40 years, ever since, actually later than that, it was Madison Avenue who invented the word teenager. There was no term for it, and they wanted to come up with, well, we want to start marketing to kids between the ages of 13 and 19, right in that age. So they came up with Madison Avenue, invented the term teenager. And then once you start to realize, hey, we can sell a lot of stuff to a lot of young people, and then we can sell a lot of stuff to a lot of older people that want to look younger or be younger. So I don't know if you've ever seen anybody over the age of 40 in an under 21 clothing store. It's the saddest thing, next to watching your husband drive cross country in an RV with someone he barely knows. But for Joe Biden at his age of 78, what did you take away from the Time magazine piece, Sherry?
Well, what they're talking about here is about ageism in general, and how COVID has actually made ageism even more prevalent, because we think of people as being frail because so many old people died from COVID that it reinforced a lot of these stereotypes that people aren't healthy, they're frail, they really can't survive illnesses. And so it's basically talking about not underestimating people as they get older, because there's really nothing to suggest that cognitively all people really decline. That yes, there are cases of Alzheimer's and dementia, but they've been in not as many in the past however many years. And I thought this was interesting. It said, it's the only stereotype where everyone starts as an outsider and then as you get older becomes self-relevant. So in other words, everybody thinks somebody else is old until they get old. You know, it's yes. A way for them to feel better about themselves, I guess.
Yeah,
I thought it was interesting. I mean, I think a lot there is a lot of ageism in this country. People can make fun of old people and get away with it.
Yeah, but do old people care?
I don't know. I mean, I guess they make fun of themselves too.
Yeah, I think if you start to discriminate against somebody and stop somebody from, you know, enjoying their life in some big way, but most old people I know, they're normally the first to bring it up. Like, you know, don't ask me. Hell, I don't know. You know, they're always the ones that are just, they've always first to make fun of themselves of a certain age that they are, and sort of the acceptance of that age. Ages,
well, that's true. They'll be like, yeah, I'm 90 years old. Leave me alone. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm allowed to. I'm old. Like my dad used to say, Dad, are you going to wear that out in public? What do I care? Seriously, what do I care? And I'm like, I know, but the rest of us, gee whiz. He's like, hey, listen, Michael, I don't care anymore. I'm at the age where I don't need to care. And what he did, used to have, he took this blood thinning medicine, which then it would make his cuts, if he got on his hand or whatever, would not coagulate quite as quickly. So he was constantly have little cuts and nicks and things like that. And he was always bleeding profusely, like he had been attacked by a cougar or something. And there's blood like on his shirt, on his pants, and all. I'm like, Dad, your shirt, you're bleeding on. What? Hey, Michael, what do I care? I said, I know you don't care, Dad, but people will find it revolting that there's blood pouring out of your hand, and you're wiping it on your shirt. I mean, like he had been shot, and people were like in the supermarket, sir, do you need to sit down? Hey, what do I care? I'm at the age I don't care. So I get most people end up sort of accepting that it goes along with being old. If you are the president and you're thinking about possibly jamming more people onto the Supreme Court, more old people, or any age that regard, there is some talk as to whether or not former President Barack Obama would actually join the Supreme Court. Would he be one? This is a piece from MSN looking at whether or not Biden plans on, he's got a commission together. That's to get people to study something. So they're going to study it first. Yeah, to extend the Supreme Court out, to get out to, I guess, 13, or I don't know how many more judges they'd want to have on there, in order to be able to get more liberals as opposed to conservatives. So the first step towards this is the commission to look into Supreme Court packing, as it's known.
Right, exactly. They have 180 days to produce this report. And it's a bipartisan commission. It's a committee. They're going to study the structural changes to the Supreme Court. But I want to read you something, yes. And I want you to guess who said this, okay? This is about court packing. 9 seems to be a good number. It's been that way for a long time. I think it was a bad idea when Franklin Roosevelt tried to pack the court. What liberal justice said that?
Oh, Ginsburg.
Yes. Yes, she even thought it was a terrible idea.
Yeah, it was Roosevelt that wanted to, first of all, Roosevelt tried to say they're too old, so he kind of wanted to have backup people in there when he got to a certain age. Plus, he also had a few things that he wanted to get in place, and it got rejected, and Roosevelt got mad that it got kicked out. So then he said, let's add more to it, and everybody said, no, we're not, we're sticking with it. I think that the Supreme Court, I think the Constitution is silent on how many judges need to be on the Supreme Court, but I guess if you don't like the fact that it's now 5-4, or however it's tilting one way or the other with conservatives and liberals, you want to get some more on there. I told the story once on the air that we were watching American Idol, and it was down to the final 24 contestants. And my kids were young, and I said, can you name all 24? They're like, oh, yeah. And with that, they named all 24 contestants on American Idol. I was shocked. And I said, I'll tell you what we're doing next week, guys, before we go to watch this again. We're going to learn every single member of the Supreme Court. And you're going to memorize them, and you're going to have their names down. And if you can't do them, you can't name them, then we're not watching American Idol.
Aww.
So what I would do is, excuse me?
Well, that's kind of a party pooper, but go on.
This is great. So I'd put them on my shoulders. They were young at the time. And I would march. I would dance them around the house. I'd put them on my shoulders, and I would gallop like a horse. Breyer, Souter, Kennedy, Stevens, Ginsburg, Myers. And I'd march all around the room, and then they'd have to sing it, too, going all around the room. And then they got it. And then American Idol would come on. And I'd say, okay, quick, before it starts. And then, Breyer, Souter, Kennedy, Stevens. They go all around the thing. And then we'd sit down and watch American Idol. How
I'm
many
so
other people?
Glad
it's
they
like
got
7 billion people. 7 billion people in the world. How many others were doing that just while American Idol was about to start?
I don't think any, but I think it's great that you taught them something. And I love that you tied it to American Idol. So it was a fun thing with kind of a not fun thing.
Right. And then some of those guys started dropping off the court that we had to redo it again. But the good news is that they just have a commission in place to look into this. I think it'd be a terrible idea because then you can go, oh, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll do 13. And then when the Republicans take over, they say, okay, you know what we're going to do? We're going to add three more. And then eventually, exponentially, it just keeps going and going until half the court is actually made up of Elvis impersonators, because you'll run out of additional people, but there'll always be at least six Elvis impersonators that be on the court. The court could be as many as 10,000 judges, right?
There's no limit. Chuck Schumer wants 13, and there's this place called Demand Justice. They want Justice Breyer to retire so Biden can nominate the first ever black woman. So they're encouraging him to retire. They think that's the responsible thing for him to do, so there can be more diversity on the court.
Right. Because overall, as I think it was Sotomayor said, a wise Latino woman would know better than a white guy, which at that point should have disqualified her from being on the court. But that doesn't matter. The fact that Jacob has found this story, he's most excited about this one and wanted to share it with everybody. It's funny, we do a pre-show meeting at 1, and you can tell the excitement of his voice goes up just a little bit when he comes across a story he finds fascinating. And here it is. Sherry, why is the truck in front of you as you're driving, why are the doors quilted?
Well, those diamond patterns on the stainless steel doors have a very specific reason. Okay, they're optional, first of all. Not everybody has to have them, but it keeps the glare from reflecting backwards. So it's a courtesy to the driver that's following the truck.
Hmm. And when you came across that, why did you have such a eureka moment, Jacob? Was it because you've always seen the truck in front of you and you wondered why are they quilted, and then all of a sudden it hits you?
It's even stranger than that. I had never even thought to question why the backs of trucks are so often quilted. And I don't know why the fact that there was a reason behind. I guess, so I will say, there's this podcast called 99% Invisible. And the premise of the show is that it's about design or design work. And the idea is that 99% of the objects that we interact with have a design element is a part of them, but we don't notice, and they're designed to not necessarily be noticed, and so much of design is creating things that no one will ever recognize. And so this very much felt like that type of idea to me, that there's these things that are serving this purpose, but we ultimately might not ever even recognize that they're doing that thing.
And it's quilted. Thanks, Jacob. I can't even realize it. Is it quilted in material or is it quilted just in metal? Is it metal?
It's in
shaped?
Metal. It's like a diamond pattern. So it's not really quilted like a comforter. It's.
I was gonna say.
Just in case you haven't been out on the road in a while and don't know what I'm talking about and think that there's some big blanket attached to the end of trucks. No,
which would, I think, would honestly do an even better job of
reflecting the light.
Exactly.
Sure. Yeah.
Yes, I know there's different types of quilting, too. There's like the styles of quilting. I feel a huge affinity, I don't know why, to truck drivers. that I like to wave at them. I like to, when I go by them, I like to do the thing that they do with each other, which is, so one truck's going along in the right-hand lane, the other one goes out in the left and then goes ahead and then pulls in front of, right, goes around, and then he or she will turn their lights on and off, which is a way of saying thank you. Did you know that? Anybody?
You mean,
who's with me? Anyone?
No, I didn't know that. And so what you say, you like to do this. So what are you mimicking?
I do that.
What are you doing? Okay.
Them. I mimic that. So if I go around the truck or left and then pass the truck on the left-hand side, and then I pull in front of the truck, and the truck's behind, we're going like 75 or 80 or whatever, I'll turn my lights on and off. My taillights go on and off as a way of saying thank you. And it's a way of being like, look at this. I'm not in a truck, but I speak truck. See?
Right.
See how that is? It's kind of like, hey, I'm
with you. I'm one of you.
I'm with you. Like, if we were to stop off at the truck stop, I could join you guys.
You need like
around.
A CB radio.
And then you wave your quilt out the window in solidarity. Is that?
Yes. Yes. Breaker, breaker, 1-9, 10-8-26, breaker, 1-9, breaker, breaker. 10-8-26. Does anybody know what that is? Anybody?
No.
Anyone?
No.
Anyone?
No.
Is my quilt wet?
Stop.
All right. Tracy Taylor. Thank you, Tom. He's a professional. When he says, I'm just going to do one thing on Friday, he just sticks to that one thing, comes in, reads it, and leaves. Doesn't even lie. I don't even get the same. Does he look at you, Jacob? He looks straight down. He reads it and then leaves.
Right. No, he seems to intentionally avoid eye contact.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Probably best for that. All right. Sherry steps in for Tom. This story, I read through it, and boy, my heart broke for this woman, and I know exactly. These could be my words, my tears, my joy, my eggs. The fact that during the lockdown, so many people went for dogs and cats for comfort and just something to have around the house, new life. This one stumbles into the idea of getting chickens. She orders her first batch of chicks. They come in the mail, and she didn't think she would become as attached to chicks as she did. And then she ends up naming them, which is always a problem. And the next thing you know, you're carrying them around and loving on them. And then, like just about everything that everybody ever loves, they get eaten by a hawk.
Oh, so sad. And I was so surprised at how she said all these chickens have their own personalities.
Like, yes, they do.
She said they are, you know, they have their own little ways of doing things. When she would come out to the chicken coop, they'd all come running toward her, and that they were every bit as comforting as a dog or a cat. Which I had no idea. I didn't know chickens were capable of that.
Oh, I had a chicken, and I used to bring it into the... It was on the show with us a couple of times, and when we did a live show at the Triple Door, Marty the chicken came with us, and I put him up on the desk while Tom and I were doing the show. Before we went on live in front of everybody at the Triple Door, I said, Tom... He goes, well, what are we going to do with the chicken? I said, Marty is just going to walk back and forth on the desk and just crap all over everything, but ignore it. Don't say anything. Don't even act like there's a chicken walking back and forth on our little table here. And I told the guests that are coming on, don't say anything about Marty. Just it's like commonplace. Like if you see a coffee cup on, you know, the set of the Today Show, it's same sort of thing. Just treat it like a coffee cup, even though it's dropping large piles of hot feces all over all the paperwork.
Does the chicken... So, for instance, if you came to visit me, my dog Bella would come up to you and sit next to you and want you to pet her. Did Marty go up and ask for affection from strangers?
Let me tell you, Marty... Jacob wasn't there for this. It was a different producer. But when we came out to take our curtain call at the beautiful Triple Door with this giant, beautiful, dark maroon red curtain, we stepped out, everybody took our hands together. We did the traditional bow. We stepped back, and Marty the chicken, who was right in the middle of us, stepped forward onto the stage. They then dropped the giant curtain behind Marty, and then the guy, smart enough in the back, he put a spotlight on the chicken, which froze Marty in place, and the damn chicken got a standing ovation. And then The curtain went up. The guy turned the spotlight off, and I ran out and grabbed Marty and pulled Marty back in again. Tom, myself, no one else got a standing ovation, but the chicken center stage with the spotlight truly got the recognition that it deserved. And I brought Marty after that. I brought Marty into the station kind of like the next day, like, hey, everybody, Miss Marty. And Dory Monson just threw a fit. He was like, I can't believe you let a chicken run around. This is my Dory Monson invitation. Chicken run around the station.
I hate to ask this, but what happened to Marty?
Marty is in heaven because a hawk.
Red-tailed
hawk, it might have been a hawk, yeah, came down and grabbed Marty, and I chased after. It was so sad. The hawk had Marty in its talons, and it was trying to lift up off the ground. Marty had a couple of pounds on him at that point, and the hawk had trouble lifting up off the ground. So, but when I got to Marty, when she dropped Marty, as she dropped Marty, I was able to bring a... shovel down onto the head of the hawk.
Good.
Encouraging the hawk to die.
Good. He deserved it.
And
that's
I
what
beat,
happened to this lady.
I beat the hell out of it, which I think is illegal. I think, is that a protected species or something, Jacob, the hawk? Can you check that out?
Describe the feather pattern to me and I'll get on that.
Okay. The woman, the same sort of thing. I think a hawk took her chickens, and the idea was that she didn't realize that she would become that attached to chickens. I tell you, I used to go in at night when they before they go to bed, and they'd be in there going, burp, 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 and I go in and talk to them and hold them. I raise them by hand. I got an apron that I used, put them in an apron, and then I'd have them in the apron. You'd just take them out of the apron and then walk around with them. Marty would be in the house. All the chickens came into the house all the time.
That might have been a little messy, though.
Nope. Chicken diapers. You can buy them online. It's a
no, not possible.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Sean, I hate to wake you.
Yeah.
Google 8 chicken diapers, please.
Chicken diapers. Is that the same website that where I'm going to find monkey diapers?
I don't know. They have monkey diapers?
Yes.
I can see. Chicken diapers?
Thanks, Sherry. Let's see.
Go chicken diapers.
Chicken diapers on Amazon. Okay, there are some washable pet diapers. There's a bow tie chicken diaper for a tiny bantam.
Mm-hmm.
It exists. They exist. There's a diaper for a
they do
a
exist,
duck.
And I've put them on.
You
can get
them?
What you do is you get matching adult diapers that match the chicken, so the chicken doesn't feel as bad about having chicken diapers on. Yeah, they would have the chicken diapers on. They'd be running around the house with chicken diapers on. And I remember one time we didn't have one on, and Charlie was, I think, like 12 at that awkward stage. And she's like, oh, I am so sick of these chickens in the house. And I'm like, I go upstairs, what's wrong? She goes, look. And the chicken had laid an egg in her bed. And I said, that, in some cultures, that's a sign of good luck.
Is that kind of like a sign of affection? Like a cat will bring you a mouse or something like that, that the fact that the chicken laid the egg in her bed was telling her this is a gift.
Yes, this is from my chicken uterus or whatever. Here is a warm egg for you. Yes, yes. Enjoy.
Okay. I had no idea. I did not know that chickens could be so fulfilling.
Lace and I had no sympathy. We quickly ran upstairs. We thought it was so funny. We took pictures of her standing next to the bed, crying with the egg in the bed. And we thought that was just like, that's a class. You know, you do that. You take a picture of your kid standing next to their bed with an egg in it. You know, that kind of thing.
No.
It's a traditional shot.
Right.
Who's with me?
That's
anyone?
A Christmas card.
Anyone.
That would be a no, John.
Shot.
That would be a big, big no.
But it'd be a great Christmas card.
You're giving people a lot of ideas, so it's good.
Here we go, Bucky's Auto Service Centers. They've got 16 locations. They've been around for 51 years. Your car's not running right. It's Bucky's. Bucky's Auto Service Centers. The men and women there will fix your car right. They've been wearing rubber gloves long before it was fashionable. Bucky's Auto Service Centers. Sherry, I know you're a big fan of reality television. I'm sure you're looking forward to Space space. Heroes.
I'm not really a fan of reality television, but I do think this is a really good idea for reality television because it's something I think pretty original, which is hard to find these days. It's in pre-production, and here's what it is. It's 24 contestants competing for the grand prize of a ticket aboard a ship bound for the International Space Station. So they're going to live in a space village. They're going to test their physical and mental strength. The drama is not going to be around interpersonal relationships necessarily. It's going to be more about how they can test, you know, their endurance and do all these things. And the winner has already got a ticket to fly above on the Axiom space mission. So they're already guaranteed, if they win, that they will get to go on one of these space flights and go to the International Space Station. I just think it's kind of a cool idea.
The fact that they say it's not going to be, why are you saying it's not going to be like any other typical reality television show? Of course it has to be, because the average person doesn't care about that other nerdy stuff. They want to see backbiting and people being just generally mean and nasty to each other, or at least giving the impression they are, when you can, you know, stay on a single shot of somebody a little longer than you should, and then they make this face as the person walks out of the room. That's the classic reality television shot. And then you go to the slow motion, the speed up motion of the sun setting. Why do you sense it's going to be more, you know, science and less sniping?
I just think this is, I mean, do you think that they are going to want to focus on those kinds of things when this is something that when the final contestant or the person that wins is going off into space and they might, you know, get more notoriety over that? So do they really want this person to be the backbiting, horrible person that, you know, kind of made their way or was diabolical to make sure they got ahead of somebody else? Or, I mean, maybe they won't care. I don't know. I think the subject matter is original. I think that part is, is different. But yeah, it may devolve into the regular human drama that we've grown to love in reality television, because you're right, that is the backbone of it.
You have to get a super flamboyant gay black man, and then you have to get like a lughead guy who's really good looking from Texas, and they, you know, odd couple sort of thing, and then you get the really pretty girl. It's gonna end up, and then the nerdy guy, because, you know, I don't know, are you really into space and astronauts and NASA and stuff like that? Sure, you seem like the kind of person that'd really be into that stuff.
No, I am not into space. I certainly respect it and think that it's an important thing, but I don't know. It doesn't interest me. Even as a kid, like, there were always those kids that wanted to be an astronaut. I had none of that. I mean, I'm claustrophobic. I thought the whole thing, you know, seemed like I couldn't wear some cool outfit. You know, I had to wear that suit, so I wouldn't want that. No, I'm not particularly into space, but I like people that are.
Well, covering your bases there, luckily, because we don't want to lose the astronaut demo.
It doesn't sound patriotic. If you say you're not into space, it sounds so un-American, you know? You have to kind of be into it a little bit.
I have to tell you something. You know, just a couple of weeks ago, we landed on Mars, and Jacob and I were in the commercial break. We're looking up at the screen, and all the guys at NASA, the men and women of NASA, all the super nerds celebrating. And I said to Jacob, look how sad it is. They don't know how to, like, high-five each other, and they're all awkward. And they're like, excited, you know, was it Opportunity?
Boop, Opportunity.
And then they do, like, funny things, like funny tweets to Opportunity, like little morning jokes things. And, it was so uncomfortable.
I know, but
I remember that an astronaut came to our high school, and I've been thinking, like, are you kidding? I can't even do long division. And this person's like, you can be anything you want to be. You can dream anything you want to dream. You can go anywhere in this world or out of this world. You know, and then taking questions and all the kids, all the nerds asking questions. I'm just like, I hope this gets me out of science class. Like, I hope this goes past the next period. And then all of a sudden the bell would ring and the teacher's like, quick, get to your next class. It's like, can't relate to you. Sorry. Sorry, astronaut.
I'm
Sherry loves you.
No.
Yeah.
I do a little.
Tracy
just
Tiller.
A little.
Tracy, did you ever want to be an astronaut, Tracy Tiller?
Of course I wanted to be an astronaut. I wanted to go to space camp and everything.
Yeah.
Yes.
I actually took a job in Alabama just to be closer to it so I could get an opportunity to be there.
That's right. That's a good American right there, Sherry.
There you
go. No, Sherry, that's what an American sounds like. That's an that Tracy Taylor. She's an American.
I hang my head in shame. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, should.